Welcome to The Lavender Lifestyle, the podcast on personal growth and lifestyle design. My name's Eileen, and I'm here to guide you to become a master artist of life. Every Sunday, you'll get new insight and inspiration on how to create your dream life. After the episode, the conversation continues in our Lavender Lifestyle Facebook group. I can't wait to see you there. Life is an art. Make it your masterpiece. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Lavender Lifestyle. It's Eileen. Today's episode is going to get you pumped. It's just going to make you feel good because when I interviewed Daniel M. Jones, I basically fed off his energy. He just has such good, uplifting, fun energy. And I know you're going to love this interview. So Daniel M. Jones is an international best-selling author, multi-musician, and video influencer with an award-winning YouTube channel dedicated to autism awareness and understanding. He is the founder of the Church of Jediism and a spokesperson for the movement, growing it to 500,000 followers around the world and raising awareness of Jediism everywhere he goes. So don't let this scare you off. It sounds weird, Church of Jediism, but I think you'll be pleasantly surprised when you find out who this guy really is, what Jediism means, and what he's all about. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hey, I'm super, super awesome. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just love your energy already. For the listeners out there, we've been chatting before this recording. Yeah, Dan has a lot to say.
He's a I'm chatter. I'm really sorry.
No, it's okay. It's good. You have a lot of energy and spunk, and it's awesome.
To me, that's life. If you haven't got that energy, you haven't got that spark inside to go like, I'm feeling pumped to do something, then it's like, okay, you need to go back to square one and figure out why you need to be pumped.
You know what? I need to do that today too. Sometimes I don't wake up that pumped. Do you wake up every day feeling like this?
Do you know what? Most days I do. Oh, and ironically, today I didn't feel it. Up until now, I didn't feel pumped. And I think it's partly to do with the fact that I kind of like I have ups and downs on my personality traits because of the Asperger syndrome. But most of the days I do feel pumped. And I don't know, there's something about it. I feel like every day is like a challenge in a good way. I'm like, oh, let's do something crazy today. It's like, so I don't know, I love it. You got to kind of wake up and think, okay, I'm going to kick today's butt. And that's what you need to kind of think always.
I love that. That's a great life lesson there. Okay, so let's rewind. I'm sure a lot of our audience are curious and they're like, who the heck is this guy? You founded the Church of Jediism at age 21. So let's start with that. What is Jediism?
Cool. So I'll try and put it into a nutshell. So Jediism is an applied life philosophy. It's kind of like a bit scary when you say, oh, Church of Jediism, it sounds all like a weird cult and all the rubbish. But it's not. It's nothing scary. It's like, the best way I explain it to people is like Buddhism for the idiot. I feel, so in a nutshell, that's what it is. It's basically Buddhism for the millennials. It's all about mindfulness and a bit of yoga practice and a bit of mantra and getting your life to square one, basically. The reason it's called Jediism, and I'll go over this now, is that because the idea of a Jedi in the Star Wars universe is they're quite like a pure person. They know they're very rational, they're very calm, they meditate, they use martial arts as a form of self-defense, and also it's a way of spiritual enlightenment. And because of that, everything that we do in Jediism reflects exactly what the Jedi do in Star Wars. And that's why, okay, apart from like the flying and the laser sword, but you know, that's how it gets its name, basically.
And you talk about the Force. Can you explain what the Force means?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the Force is the energy or the universal life force energy, which gives life to everything. So some people call it chi or consciousness or a vibration or the inner flow, the inner wind in like Taoism and things. And what that means is that it is the binding energy. That's that thing that exists between vibration and energy. I call it energy, but it's not specifically an energy. And the way I can explain this is that in the book of Matthew, I believe in the Bible, it says that, you know, the kingdom of God isn't within one man or a group of men. It's within all men. So it's a shared responsibility of that the enlightenment of the reality that we live in. And so the Buddha said it as well, you know, we are the imagination of ourselves, and what we see, I think, therefore I am. It's all to do with the fact that you project and create your own realities, and that reality is the force that you live in. So it's having a communication with that, which is having the communication with the Force, basically. I hope that made some kind of sense.
It's a little hard to grasp, but so is like Buddhism and all of this stuff. But the way I see it is it's like the energy flow of the universe, right? There's this invisible force that guides us. And yeah, people call it different names. People call it the universe, God, or whatever it is. But you can't deny that there's some kind of life energy force, right?
That's absolutely right, yeah. And the way I explain it to people how they can feel it is that, okay, say if you've ever been walking down the street or in an office or you've gone to your friend's house or in a mall, anywhere, and somebody says to you, hey, you're looking hot today, or hey, you're looking really awesome. And you think, wow, you feel so empowered by this like positive comment that it fuels your entire existence. For that moment, you're like, oh, yes, you know, you can flip a table or something. And like the idea is that when the person said that to you, they feel amazing for saying it because they're shedding positivity, light, and love. And so by sharing love, you cause love. So it's a cause and reaction. Mm-hmm. And that's the rippling effect of feeling the force, if you like. That's another way of tuning in.
Mm. I love it. Because, yeah, I always say, like, you know, joy is contagious. If you're happy and you smile, then you spread that around you. And if you are a light, you spread that around you. And you know what? That is why you're so pumped every day. Maybe you're just so in tune with the force.
I know I am, and I try and live my life that way, you know? And
that's amazing.
There's so many people who let negativity, like, just you bum them out all day, and it's like, oh, you know, this, that, and the other. And like, we all have our problems because that's life, and the idea is to solve them. And I feel like my gift in life is that I was blessed, maybe you could call it blessed, with Asperger's syndrome, which is like a high functioning autism disorder. And I see everything as a problem that needs to be solved. I love solving problems. I love doing puzzles and all this kind of rubbish. So to me, it's like, oh, every day is like this big problem. You got to solve it. And I love getting into it. It's like playing a game. It's like solving a puzzle.
Yeah.
I think this is why I did the degree in chemistry, because I found it so like, oh, it's a puzzle. Yeah. I put things together, you know?
That's amazing. I mean, some people, when they see a problem, they run away and they don't want to solve it. But yeah, I love that you have like the gusto to want to solve it.
Yeah, because it comes with that relief, doesn't it? When how many times you said, oh my goodness, you know, I'll be so happy once this is sorted out. And then it gets sorted out and you're like, I'm feeling so pumped. You know, like, I'm floating. And it's like, you should treat every single problem with the same respect. And this is one thing I will say, and this is a teaching from the Buddha, the Bodhisattva, and they said that, you know, we have no control over involuntary negative thought. You know, we have no control over dark thoughts that enter our brains. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, all this stuff, people dying and all this rubbish. But we have control over positive thoughts that we can voluntarily put in our brains. So involuntary thoughts, we have no control of. We do have control of positive thoughts. So what I always do is, if I'm feeling kind of down or feeling bummed out, I always kind of say, okay, I'm going to think of something super awesome. And the best way to remember this is, there's this TV show called How I Met Your Mother. And there's a character called Barney Stinson, who's played by Neil Patrick Harris, one of my favorite actors. I think he's probably my favorite actor ever. The guy's a genius. Yeah. And he says in it, the line, he says, hey, you know, when I'm feeling down, I stop feeling down. I start feeling awesome. And it's perfect. It's like, that's it.
It's so simple, but you can decide to start feeling awesome.
Yeah. And it's super easy. You just go, I'm not going to feel down anymore. I'm just going to be awesome instead.
It's as easy as that. I love it. So let's get into the details of like what made you want to start the Church of Jediism. You know, because it takes action to make this kind of thing happen. And you have like 500,000 members or more.
So the idea is, and I'll just clarify the terminology. We say we have 500,000 followers.
Okay.
But members are slightly different to followers, because the members engage with like training and all that kind of stuff. But followers are people who just follow everything you do and visit the website and all this rubbish. Anyway, so what got me to start the Church of Jediism? I have been obsessed with Star Wars ever since I was like a young boy. And I was like, wow, this is like the coolest thing ever. And the main thing that was cool about it is, one, I love sci-fi and science because I'm a super nerd. And the second thing is that the Jedi were in there, and they were kind of like, they were spiritual, or they were religious in inverted commas, without all the secular hokum, you know, like, so you didn't have to submit to anything that was kind of like, you know, daunting. I can't do this. Ooh, can't step out of line there. They were just very calm with it all. And they were very rational. You know, they were never judging. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. And so that being in my mind, I'd studied kind of all kinds of religions and philosophies and the magic and all this kind of stuff for years. I've been so like interested in all this kind of stuff. I got to a point where I was looking online for kind of, you know, I wonder if Jedi are real, you know, like, is this a real thing? And so I Googled around Yahooed around, as it was back in the day. And I found a couple of websites that were talking about it. It was like the Ashlanites, and there was a Temple of the Jedi Order, and there was a bunch of other little bits and pieces, but nobody was really doing anything. The websites weren't fancy. The literature was scarce, and there was no organization to it. You know, there was no kind of real structure. And I thought, wow, what if I could bring something together, some real literature, some good organization, and actually have a I don't know, an organized kind of ideology kind of together. And so I did that, and I made the Church of Dead. And that was kind of like the combination of it. And but the reasoning for me saying, like, okay, I'm going to do it was because I felt like the world, you know, we're living in like a post 9/11 world, mm-hmm. and everyone's a bit kind of like, you know, miserable.
Yeah.
Everyone's scared of somebody blowing somebody up. And I thought, wow, you know, we need to get back to being fun. Like in the 90s where it was like, you know, floppy hats and pogs, you know,
colorful,
like,
you know,
yeah. And, you know, happy-go-lucky life, you know, and like, you know, everybody enjoyed McDonald's back in the 90s. And it was kind of like, you know, this whole, not like I enjoy it, I'm just saying that like, it was this whole glamorous kind of just chill out, you know, we listened to music, we didn't have mobile phones. And it was kind of like, I wanted to bring a bit of an essence of that kind of free lifestyle back into modern day living. And so that's why I did it. And that was kind of like the real driving force for me to do it. I was like, yeah, you know, we have to have this whole happy outlook for people.
That's amazing. So you're saying you basically wrote everything yourself? You wrote out what Jediism means, and you created this website and all of this?
Yeah, definitely. So, well, the website we have now is a highly professional website, which I did design with the team, but I didn't, you know, physically make it myself. But like, I did design it and all this rubbish. But all the literature, everything, yeah, it's from me. And the ideas, I mean, look, let's put this into perspective. They're extrapolated and expanded on ideas from the Star Wars movies. Because if we took just what the Star Wars movies gave us, sorry, we'd have a small little pamphlet, you know, a tiny leaflet with the information.
And you expanded on it.
You have to, because we had like 3 movies for like years, and then we had another 3 movies and they weren't that good. And so it's kind of like, what do you do with such little information but such big idea? You have to fill in the gaps. And what I feel like now is that seeing the newer movies, I feel like we've expanded in the right direction, basically. That's the idea.
That's really impressive. It takes a lot of creativity to take an idea and fill in the blank holes, right? What would you say is the most interesting or surprising experience that has come out of Jediism and creating all this?
I would say people's reactions to it. I think that is the most interesting experience, because when you say stuff, if you say to somebody, hey, I founded this kind of, you know, new religious kind of movement, they're like, what the heck? You know, it's like the weirdest thing. And everyone believes you. I was on this TV show once on the BBC called The Big Question with this guy called Nicky Campbell. He's quite a big kind of geezer over here. And I had to go on the show, and they sat me next to this guy from Raelianism. And Raelianism is a group of people who wear like silver jumpsuits, you know, and space boots and all stuff. And it's kind of like, you know, they believe that aliens are going to come back and save us all. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm just saying that, like, that is where they put me next to. And, of course, I go in there, and this regular bloke, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, I just want everyone to be happy. And they're like,
oh, they wanted you to be weird, you know, and it's kind sci-fi.
Like, yeah, like, everybody expects me to be this weirdo. And I am a weirdo. I'm a self-proclaimed bizarre weirdo. You know, you have to be to have a degree in chemistry.
Oh, come on.
If you weren't a weirdo before doing the degree, you definitely will be after it. but yeah, I think... that is probably the most. I love it. I just love it. You know, oh, we're gonna go meet this Jedi guy. He's crazy. It's like, hey, I'm kind of normal, and I'm like blown away by it.
Yeah.
You just see their heads. I was doing an interview just before Christmas with Huck magazine, and a quite big magazine over here. I think we've got like a 90 million reach or something ridiculous like that. Anyway, regardless of that reach, 2 lovely blokes came up from London. We did a photo shoot. We did an interview, and halfway through the interview, you could just see their heads just like, oh. This is nothing like I thought. It's like, wow. And I love it.
That's such a cool feeling to like prove people wrong or do the unexpected.
Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. I think it's like, it's everything that I teach, you know. It's always be kind of like a bit creative, always kind of like, I don't know, excite people in a way. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just love all that stuff.
It's brilliant. It gets people's attention.
Yeah, and that is partly the reason why I called it the Church of Jediism as well. Not just like the study of philosophy based on Jedi teaching. You know, it's not that. It's
exactly.
It's got the shock
value. It's smart. It's branding.
Yeah, it is. It's branding. Yeah. And it's fun, you know. And it's kind of a big... The reasons why I call it the Church, and I'll just go through this very briefly, is because one, it is because the word church used to mean house of God, but now it just means congregation of people. And I think more people should use that, because we're kind of scared to use the word church because you think, oh, it's Christian-based. And it's not. You know, everyone can enjoy the word church.
Yes.
Why not? You know, Church of Subgenius, Church of Flying Spaghetti Monster... Look, everybody can enjoy the word church. And then the other part was that, like, I wanted to change the way people saw the word. So not only can they enjoy it, but they just change it so that it's not this, like, stigmatic kind of weird word you can't use. And so, and of course, it's got shock value. You say church, everyone's like, the ears stick up like a dog.
super interesting. So let's talk about your book, because you just came out with a book called Become the Force, 9 Lessons on How to Live as a Jediist Master. So congratulations, first of all. What would you say is your favorite lesson from the book that you can share to them today?
Okay, my favorite lesson. I don't know. They're all so yummy. let's have a look here. I don't know. They're all so good. Okay.
Well, okay. What's one that you think is unexpected or surprising that you, I don't know. Or one that's worthy of sharing.
Emotional control and anger management. I think this is so important. And one of the reasons I think this is so fun is because people act on emotion all the time. They just kind of go like, hey, that guy called you an asshole. And they're like, hey. And then, you know, you just instantly like, you're an asshole. And then there's this huge conflict. And, you know, where they shouldn't be. They should be like, he did. I wonder why. Let's ask him. Nobody ever expects that, you know? Nobody thinks, like, why is this guy, you know? And that's another thing, like, somebody comes out, I'm going to kick your ass. It's like, okay, we'll sit down and have a conversation. Why are you going to do that? Nobody ever expects that, and I find that fascinating. Yeah. And it's because the whole reaction thing, you know, every action is a positive or neutral reaction. And it's because if you go to life deflecting everything as it comes into you, you become the monster you hate. And this is a more serious version of it. So if somebody murdered somebody you love and then you go after that person and murder them, then you've just become them. It's like, that doesn't make any difference. So that's how you should never act on. So anger management is that in its essence, is that you get rid of anger, because it's like the Buddha said, okay, anger is like, or holding grudges and being angry at somebody and being negative to somebody is like holding a hot piece of coal, and the only person that, and you're waiting to throw it back at the person who threw it at you, but the only person's getting burnt in the meantime is you know, you're the person getting hurt. And my father always said to me, he goes, don't let anybody live rent-free in your head, because, you know, what the heck?
What's the point?
Yeah, you don't like that person, so why are you letting them live rent-free in your mind? And he was absolutely right, and I thought, wow. And the emotional control is one of the things I find quite interesting, and people are always letting their emotions go wild. You know, they kind of, they're desperate to find love, or they want people to love them as friends, and they're desperate to make friends and stuff. And one of the things which is quite an amazing saying is that I think it was in The Wizard of Oz, the lion says that he wanted a heart, and the wizard said, my good man, a heart is not judged on how much it loves, but it's on how much it's loved. And he couldn't be more right. And this means that you can go out and love everybody in the world, but if nobody loves you back, then, you know, how is the heart judged? But if loads of people say, this person's amazing, I love them, then that is how the heart is judged. And so emotion comes from the fact that, again, a great saying where people chasing happiness, but happiness isn't this thing, this goal that you'll achieve. Happiness is something that you experience while you do things. So in controlling your emotions by the fact that happiness is like a butterfly, the more you chase it, the more it will elude you. But if you busy yourself with other things, it'll come and rest upon your shoulder. And it couldn't be more true. Things like that, I just love it. And so I kind of always teach that you should never go with emotion. And in the Star Wars movies, this is a great line as well from Star Wars. Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin are chasing down this guy, just put like a bug in the princess's room to try and kill it. And so they chase down this guy, and they have this huge running through the city kind of montage. And then the evil guy runs into a bar, and Anakin's about to run in there. And he's running up to the door, and Obi-Wan says, stop, Anakin. He said, the guy went in there to hide, not to run. Why are you running in there? And so, again, that was an act of emotional response, just acting on it for no reason, because he said, it's an emotional response. I'm going to run after this guy. He's running. But why?
Right.
You know, like, and again, the slow and steady wins the race. You have to analyze the situation first and then make a decision on it. Don't act on emotion, because emotion will just tear you up and just completely spit you out with the wrong kind of thing.
So next time, just take a second and ask why.
Yeah, ask why.
Just start to think about it before you take action on your emotions.
Exactly. Like if your phone starts freezing and you can't get on your Instagram to double-click those IGs, you just don't throw it at the wall, because that's going to make it even worse. You kind of wait for a second and go, okay, let's have patience with it. And that's all about it. It's just taking the time to go, okay, I take a step back, I take a breath, and then I look at the situation again. And that's so important. And it's such a simple thing.
All right, my loves, it's time to take a break with our sponsor, FreshBooks. If you're a freelancer or a small business owner, FreshBooks is an intuitive cloud accounting software that's the simplest way to be more organized and productive with your day-to-day paperwork. With FreshBooks, you can create and send professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds, set up online payments to get paid faster, and more. There's even a new FreshBooks proposal feature, which allows you to include an outline of your project, scope of work, and a timeline. online. No more switching software, fussing over formatting, and wasting your precious time. FreshBooks is offering all Lavender listeners a 30-day unrestricted free trial so you can try it out for yourself. To claim your free trial, go to freshbooks.com/lifestyle and enter the Lavender Lifestyle in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's freshbooks.com/lifestyle. I'm also very excited to share about our sponsor, Audible. If you watch my monthly favorites videos, you know I'm always recommending my favorite audiobooks on Audible. I love listening to audiobooks while I'm driving or doing chores. My favorites to listen to are inspiring self-help books like Light is the New Black by Rebecca Campbell, or comedy memoirs like I Can't Make This Up, Life Lessons by Kevin Hart. What's great is that with Audible, you can switch seamlessly between devices, your phone, tablet, or Amazon Echo, and pick up exactly where you left off. Audible members get a credit every month good for any audiobook, and unused credits roll over to the next month. Plus, your books are yours to keep, so you can re-listen to them anytime, even if you cancel your membership. Sign up today for a 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/lavender. That's spelled audible.com/LAVENDAIRE. Or you can text LAVENDAIRE to 500-500. Let's talk about your YouTube channel, because this is what you're currently working on now, the Aspie world.
Yeah, that's what I said, yeah.
Yeah, so what is your mission with this channel, and what's your main message?
Cool. So my main message is that I'm trying to put across information that's valuable about Asperger's, autism, and mental health in general, and all the things that comorbid with it, you know, like anxiety, depression, OCD, and all these things. I'm trying to put across information in a really fun, engaging way, and a positive manner as well, because there's far too many videos out there on these subjects, and everyone, I watch this video, this guy talking about Asperger's, and I'm like, oh, I want to kill myself, you know, because it's so upsetting and depressing. It's like, oh my God. And you don't want to feel worse after watching a video. You want to go in there and be enlightened. Yeah. So I feel like I just want to get people psyched about it. And this is okay, so this is my like my current kind of campaign. I'm doing a lot of talks on this year. I'm doing one in Spain next week, actually. And it's about autism, using autism as a superpower, and that's what it's all about. I use it as my superpower, and everybody can use it.
In what way do you use it as your superpower?
So for instance, up until 2014, I had this diagnosis of Asperger's, and I was rubbish at everything, you know. I can play, okay, I'm a multi-musician, I can play a lot of different instruments, and it's great, and I love being, you know, gifted in that way, and I love that. But I felt like I wasn't kind of, I don't know, I was still depressed, you know, oh, I get depression and all these kind of things. Anyway, so then I decided that, hey, one of my things is that I love being obsessed with stuff. And this comes as a bit of an annoyance to people, because I kind of get obsessed over things and then they go, Dan, why are you not talking to us? I haven't seen you for like 2 weeks. What's going on? I'm sitting there watching this rerun of like, I don't know, this 2 second clip of a guy playing a banjo. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. So, but with that obsession came extreme focus, and extreme focus and analytical thinking is what you need with chemistry. So yeah. I did a degree in chemistry, and it was kind of like, it's not as, chemistry is not as hard as everyone makes out, but it wasn't for me, because I love this kind of focus. I was like, wow, if I channel the things that are maybe a bad symptom, if I channel it to being something that's good, I can maybe, I don't know, change my life, change somebody else's life. I don't know. So that's what I did. And so with the Aspie world, I was like, okay, I'm going to channel everything I know about Asperger's syndrome and autism in a positive way. And I'm going to put it out there in a very engaging, fun video, so that everybody who is in my position can go, oh, yeah, this guy, you know,
like
I feel
it's cool.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. I'm like, so, like, for instance, right? Somebody said to me, like, oh, you know, I'm rubbish at everything. I've got Asperger's syndrome and I can't get a job, can't hang out in offices, you know, I can't do the usual stuff. And I've been there, I've done that, and I know exactly how they feel. And I said, what are you good at? He said, well, look, nothing really. I just love playing video games. I said, okay, cool. Look, this is, I always take this lesson from Alan Watts. And Alan Watts is a famous Zen Buddhist. And he always said, look, forget about money, right? Okay. How would you want to spend your days? And if when you have that, you say, okay, I want to play video games. Maybe stupid to some people, but look, it's important. If you do it enough times, you'll become good at it. And when you do it a lot of times, you'll become a master at it. And when you're a master at something, somebody will pay you to do it.
It's true.
And so it is true. And so I said to this guy, look, go out there, play video games, become a master of your field, know everything you need to know about video games, the whole industry, and then go and apply for jobs in that industry because you are going to be one of those knowledgeable people in it. And it mm-hmm. works. You know, I know yeah. There's a guy I know who's got Asperger's syndrome. He works for a video game company. It's wow. like, it's just things like that. This is how to drive your superpower.
I love it. There's a positive in everything, and it doesn't have to have this negative light on Asperger's and autism, because it can be a superpower. There are gifts that everyone has. I'm like a believer that everybody has a very unique set of gifts, and they're meant to use that, right, to do something in the world. So yeah, everybody is worthy. Everybody can do something.
Absolutely. And this is one thing I say, like, to, because like I have a lot of people who come to my YouTube channel who don't have Asperger's syndrome, yeah. who, you know, they may just have like a friend and that's how they come across it, but they stay and they stick around for the videos, because I say, like, everybody's so important.
Yeah.
And like you said, everybody has a reason and a purpose to be here. We just have to figure it out and do it. Mm-hmm. And it may take you a whole life, and it could be the last thing you ever do, and you go, oh, I'm doing it right now. I should have been preaching to somebody about something, you know, about crystals. It could be anything. Mm-hmm. And then they go, I'm doing it. At least you fulfill it, and you will figure it out. Yeah. It just may take some time. So never give up on it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do that whole thing, like, oh, I'm too old, or I'm never going to do it.
No,
I'm past it, you know.
Never too
it's like,
old.
What are you talking about? Like, it just, look, I mean, Harrison Ford didn't start acting until he was 30. I mean, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
And this is a true story. Do you want to hear a true story of an amazing achievement? Okay. And this will help any listener who ever doubts themselves, thinking that they're too old or they're never good enough. This is a true story, and it's true because my cousin, it's my cousin who it's about.
Yeah.
Okay, so my cousin, 70 years old, right? 70-year-old man.
Wow.
He, in his 30s, he was a bodybuilder, and he was like, he got into bodybuilding because he wanted to be a world champion bodybuilder, okay? Mm-hmm. And like anybody else, you go, okay, I got aspirations. And one thing led to another, he fizzled out, and then he won a couple of local competitions, nothing major. So then, on his 69th birthday, kind of, he's like, okay, do you know what I want to do? I want to get back into bodybuilding.
Wow.
Why not? You know, 60. So he did it. And then this last year just gone, so 2017, it was his 70th year on this planet. And he was like, excellent shape, you know, working really hard, working nights. So he worked at night time, right? So how hard is it to work your metabolism when you're working at night? Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So this guy was working hard and bodybuilding hard. And he was like, he won a local competition. Okay, great. So then he went ahead and he won a national competition, and then he won the British competition.
Wow.
And when he won the British competition, they said to him, hey, you have, oh no, sorry, he won the European title. And when he got the European title, they said, dude, you have a chance to go and try for the world championship. And he said, look, I'm 70 years old. You know, maybe 50 years ago, I thought like, this is a good idea or whatever, you know, like 40 years ago. And then he was like, but now maybe, I don't know. So they said, no, you're going to do it. And he said, yeah, do you know what? And he said, okay, I'm going to go and do it. So I went to see him, and he's holding like a charity fundraiser, because you have to kind of, I don't know if any of you guys know this, but if you're going to do competitions like this, you have to pay your own way, if you like it. That, and so you have to pay for all your hotels, your flights, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was raising money, and I gave him some money, and I did a bit of fundraising with him. And I said to him, you know, are you scared? Are you nervous? And he said, and he looked at me dead in the face. He said, Dan, you know, I'm not gonna be scared about it, because I'm gonna win it.
Wow.
And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, I'm not gonna go out there if I'm not gonna win. I said, okay, wow. Okay, John, do it. So he flew out to Miami, and he was in Miami, and I watched the live stream, and I'm sitting here on the edge of my seat thinking, oh my goodness, what if he actually does this? You know, I mean, he's up against everybody else in the entire world. He's mm-hmm. up against everybody. And I was like, I just couldn't, I was just in suspense. Anyway, so then he comes on stage, he does his thing, and the judges say, okay, the world champion goes to, and it was my cousin John. And
oh,
I was like,
God.
Oh my God, wow. This guy is 70 years old. He's the world champion bodybuilder in his age range. I mean, you can
right.
Google it. John, his name is John Wilkin Johnson.
Even if he didn't win, that would be awesome that he made it that far. I mean, this
yeah,
is
I
many
know.
Wins.
And still, it was crazy. Yeah. And I bumped into him in the store. So we have the store here called Tesco, and that's why I always see him in Tesco, because mm-hmm. he goes to his grocery shopping. So I bumped into him, and I was like, John, man, you won the title. He said, yeah. I said, well, are you going to do any brand deals? Yeah, you know, you do. And he's like, oh no, money doesn't motivate me, just the competition. I was like, what?
Aww.
Like, and he'd done, and it was amazing. And he's got this huge trophy in his house. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
There's this guy just sitting in his house. He goes to work. He's like a celebrity now, because like everywhere he goes, we want to take pictures with him and all
yeah.
this kind of stuff. And I just, this guy's now my new hero. I'm
wow.
like, this guy's 70 years old. He never gave up. He said, I'm going to do it. He is a world champion bodybuilder. I mean, you can't get higher than that.
Wow.
What, unless we go into outer space and just visit other planets. You can't do anything mm-hmm. Greater than that. So never give up, because there's no point. You know, he could have, at one time he almost did. When last year, When he was 69, he actually lost the, he didn't win the British title, so he kind of knocked back. So then he said, oh, I'm giving up. And then, I don't know why, but in the beginning of 2017, he said, no, I'm going to give it one more try.
Wow.
And that's what he said. He said, I'm going to give it one more try.
Wow.
So it was kind of like, oh my God, this guy
70 years old. Oh my goodness. To do anything, even like not even win, but just to try when you're 70. I think that's winning.
Just to try, exactly. Just to try it, man. Just, yeah. Anyway, this guy's my hero, and I told him he should write a book, and he said, "Oh no, I'm no good at that." So aww. I'm waiting for it though. He should do because
what was his name again? John what?
So John Morgan Jones. So like, okay. So my middle name is Morgan. So it's Daniel Morgan Jones. I've got the M.
Yeah.
So he's John Morgan Jones.
Okay.
And if you just Google John Morgan Jones bodybuilder, you'll find a video of him. You know, there's like a cool news story on him when he's being all modest, talking about you know working out, and the thing is. He hides his body. You wouldn't see this guy is ripped to hell, and
yeah.
But he always wears like a hoodie and like baggy pants, and you just would not tell this guy's so fit for a 70 year old guy. It's just
that's
incredible.
Inspiring. Thanks for sharing that.
No, you know, anytime, and I love sharing the story, and it's kind of like I told him, you're my hero. I'm going to tell everybody the story. He's like, no. It's crazy, but I love it.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Dan. You gave so many good lessons today. I loved it. I especially love your energy, and I just want to like cheer you on with everything that you
thank
do
you
in
so
the
much.
Future. So we'll be here cheering for you.
Thank you. Right. You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Well, so everyone out there, you can check out Dan's work at becometheforce.com. And where else can we find you? Do you do Instagram?
Yeah. So
and YouTube too.
Yeah, my YouTube. So so the Aspie World. So TheAspieWorld. You can get me on that. So the Aspie World. You can get me on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. You know the usual Twitter, all those things. I'm more active on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube than anywhere else. So,
okay, awesome.
But that's the best way to keep up to date with me.
Great. So all the links will be in the show notes below. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to The Lavender Lifestyle. If you like this podcast, please show your support by leaving a review on iTunes. It helps us so much and also helps other people find the show. You can also catch me on YouTube and Instagram at Lavender, where I have even more content for the artist of life. Love you all so much. Bye.